Week global events.
That's right here, Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, Saturdays, midnight till 2 a.m. Eastern Time. Revolution Radio, where information never sleeps.
Let the magic rise.
Anarcho-syndicalist commune. We take it in turns to act as a sort of executive officer for the week.
Yes.
But all the decisions of that officer have to be ratified at a special bi-weekly meeting.
Yes, I see.
By a simple majority in the case of purely internal affairs.
Be quiet.
But by a two-thirds majority in the case of more...
Be quiet. I order you to be quiet.
Look, you stupid bastard. You've got no arms left.
Yes, I have.
Look.
It's just a flesh wound.
I don't believe I've seen such a display of courage, skill, nerve, grace, stupidity.
I'll do you for that. Oh, what? Come here. What are you going to do, bleed on me? I'm invincible.
You're a loony.
The Black Knight always triumphs.
Roundtable Live, Monday through Friday, 1 a.m. till 4 a.m. Eastern Time. Bring your mind, bring your ideas, bring your voice. King Arthur had nothing on us. Here, Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com.
Adapt 2030 Mini Ice Age Conversations covers changes in our climate due to a new and intensifying grand solar minimum. In the media, overlooking, downplaying, or burying cold weather changes occurring on our planet. This is in order to keep the global warming agenda steaming full speed ahead. I do this podcast and radio program because we need to begin conversations on how to adapt our food growing strategies long before 2030 as agricultural zones shift, affecting global crop output. But very few mainstream media outlets are talking about the most important issue of our time, cold weather crop losses. Our sun is going through a 400-year cycle, which has effects on our weather patterns as our magnetosphere weakens and the jet streams go out of flow. It's not CO2, it's not you, it's the sun. Are you ready to thrive in the grand solar minimum? Then join me for Mini Ice Age Conversations. I'm your host, David Dubine, creator of the Adapt 2030 Mini Ice Age 2015 to 2035 video series.
All right. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, wherever you are on the planet. Ransom Godwin, David Dubine tonight. Ransom, how am I sounding? Can you hear me clearly?
Yes, sir. You sound loud and clear.
All right, here we go. This is going to be an exciting show. We're going to try to blend past historical patterns, past geologic evidence, societies, and ancient history blending in. This is amazing right now. Because if you know anything about the Chinese culture, they're terrified of comets. Comets always portend a bad omen in the sky. But what's even different is the Big Dipper. In Chinese lore and legend, the cult of the Big Dipper called the Beidou Qixing, this is where the Berkeley Current, supposedly they've mapped out, is the seed point for human consciousness. That radiative force from the middle of the Big Dipper is the seed point of here, human consciousness, when the clay figurines that were formed by Nuwa and Fuxi had no life in them, and they animated these clay forms from those same electrical currents from space emanating from the Big Dipper. Comet Neowise is going to be rising right through the center of the Big Dipper. In the house that gives the emperor power, there is a comet with a blue and a white tail is going to rip through the house of the emperor. The mandate from heaven has been removed in earnest, where the entire nation of China can see that this comet is pervading the house. And when you dig deeper into the comet, and if you go directly where it is going to be in the middle of that Big Dipper, there is something called the Owl Nebula. It's a perfect triangle, a pyramid. And in the very center of the Owl Nebula itself, there is a dot. And this is where a lot of people think that this all-seeing eye idea comes from. But these changes are vast, and we have the massive floods going on in China. We see the craziness politically happening. You know, would rather, you know, stay on something a little more lighthearted than that craziness, because you're getting your fill in the news. You're getting inundated. Lockdown 2.0 is coming, but what can we expect with the dollar? It seems like there's a dinosaur extinction level event, as in global economy, dinosaur extinction, same, same, but different. So Ransom, thanks for joining me tonight. I know we're going to have a lot to talk about. I appreciate you coming on every week. Your insights and thoughts are so valuable. So thanks for, you know, continuing to come week after week to jaw with me here. Ransom Godwin, 420 TV, Freedom is Films. Thank you. Here we go. It's going to be a great show.
It's a pleasure to be with you. So I was trying to show him that. So the all-seeing eye has a big comet going through. I've been trying to film it every night, or the nights they said that it was going to come out. Clouds, all of a sudden, right where I want to look. It's very irritating.
I know. I went out early. When it was in the sun rising, I went out and saw it two nights in a row. But it was really, really faint, and I needed binoculars because it only was visible about an hour before sunrise. So if there wasn't a cloudless sky, you know, that comet became very misty, and then it kind of disappeared into the morning sunrise. But now it's in the evening, and you know what? The last two nights we've had clouds and rain here too. I am waiting for it. But it's rising every night. So if you're looking on the horizon of the planet at, say, the demarcation of where the land and the sky meet, it's been rising from that. And over the next few days, through the 18th and 19th, 20th, and here's the interesting thing. If you all are into like sacred numerology and you know 23s are of the Illuminati and this kind of numerology, on the 23rd, the comet's going to sit in the middle of the house of the Big Dipper. That is crazy. Crazy. Yeah. The meshing of two different elitist systems, both pegged and pointed to a single spot in the sky. This is truly an unbelievable event happening here. So many signs.
Yeah. So you want to skip mainstream news? Is that what you're saying? You don't want to talk about the communist nation out there?
Oh, let's talk about the USSA.
I want to talk about it,
but I was just trying to, you know, keep the positive vibes moving along because everybody's so inundated now with these negative thought vibrations, and it seems that there's a plan to try to reduce the vibrational frequency of the human race here on the planet. But let's go into the news because I think we can find some positivity. And, you know, every time we find this crisis, there's always opportunity in the danger, and it's called Wei Ji in Chinese. So opportunity, there's danger in the opportunity. So let's talk about it all.
All right. I wanted to talk about this because, you know, it kind of applies to us. I mean, I don't know how you feel about yourself if you put yourself in a category, but check this out. Now, if you're just tired of hearing white people, there's a new mute button. We could just mute white people right now. You could do it right now. You could mute me.
I have my own mute button because it's
the mute white people button.
Can you imagine that if you would target another group? And see, this is the whole thing. We're one race of people. We're a human race. And these power elitists that keep trying to direct us to divide the human race, that's the whole thing that they forget. The human race.
But it's okay now. There's been an update on all of our situations here on planet Earth, and I'm going to show you right here. Look, people in North Carolina, there's no more problems because they're going to pay reparations. So now there's no need for any more riots or bad ill will or any of that because, you know, they're going to get a check. And then I guess, supposedly, that's all done with, right? It's done because they're going to get paid. I was thinking really somehow if I could get the government to give like some of my Native American ancestry some reparations, maybe they could help me out. I don't know. They'd probably laugh at me though.
Yeah, because, you know, we're going down a slippery slope with that because you have to realize many, many people here, and I know slavery was a terrible thing and it still goes on today, which I don't understand why nobody's really addressing the actual true slavery that's still occurring on our planet, that is in the tens of millions of people that are indentured servitude or outright bought or sold through a lot of areas on the planet that everybody turns a blind eye to. That's not cool. And then if we go back through history, the Barbary Coast and the enslavement of, you know, whites by Muslim into the slave trade through the Barbary Coast, Now, if you go back in history, that's not widely talked about. And okay, that's fine if you want to discount that. But I wasn't here. My family wasn't even in the United States and didn't come here until 1890. And they came from Lithuania. And they were severely, severely pushed and pulled. And people didn't want the immigrants from Europe coming over here. You have to realize if you go back into go back to New York City. That's why these enclaves kind of came into their own. You know, the Italian enclave. You had the Polish-Lithuanian enclave. You had the Russian enclave. All these things because people didn't want the Europeans coming over here either. And the amount of absolute disgust and hate for those people coming from Europe to this place too. We lived through a whole chapter in history of that. Nobody wants to talk about. But to talk about the reparations, I wasn't part of it. My grandparents weren't even part of it. Family didn't even come here till, like I said, 1890 was when they arrived. So if you're going to start talking about reparations, like where do we draw the line between, all right, our family wasn't even here. So where do you go back? Do you start looking and then going back up in like Nantucket and the original Mayflower settlers and you trace those monetary lines up through and you find the people who were really here that have bloodlines that can be traced back to the 1600s, 1700s, and until the Civil War? And what if your family fought in the Civil War to stop the slavery? Are then you know, is there a golden pass where you help stop it? Where you still need to pay? I mean, what's going on at this point? And how much reparation is enough reparation? I mean, where do we draw the line? It's becoming, if they're going to talk about the issues, great. Let's talk about them in earnest. And I shouldn't be called a racist for bringing these things up. So if we're going to talk about everything that's going on, it should be an open conversation completely. And where does the line get drawn where there's no culpability for reparations? Because, you know, if somebody came over today and immigrated from another place, are they also now, just because they're here in the United States, are they, you know, so let's say somebody comes from like Croatia and they come down here and they immigrate to the United States, or somebody from Czech Republic or Republic of Georgia, they come over here and today and they're here and then, you know, next year they need to pay reparations or something. I don't know. Where do we draw the line on that? Because I would actually think that Native Americans for sure, because we did there's a huge disservice done to Native Americans through this play. That trail of tears was beyond, there's no words to describe it. And being down here in the Southeast U.S., that trail of tears ran right through this area. So the first people that should be getting land back and reparations would be Native Americans, because what was done there is just I'm going to stop.
Well, actually, there's some things happening that point to that actually happening, at least for the end of the Trail of Tears, which ended in Oklahoma. Recently, a Supreme Court ruling ruled that the tribes that live there, which would be the Cree, I forgot the other two. Basically, two-thirds of Oklahoma's jurisdiction has now been given back to the Native Americans, and it spun from a case on whether or not to give a guy the death penalty that murdered someone because he is of one of the nations there. And they went back to an old 1800 treaty that says that, you know, all of that is Native American land. And the Supreme Court just, I think it was like a week ago, ruled in favor that all of that land is under the jurisdiction of those nations, which means a lot of people are going to be released from jail that have done things in the, and a lot of little small townships and white communities are going to find themselves under the authority of the Bureau of Indian Affairs, which is a similar organization to the IRS and some other things, but that's a different topic. You were pointing out the slaves. I just showed right as soon as you brought that up. That was one of the stories that's out right now, and they're talking about how many slaves are in Europe right now, and they just talk about the UK, and they're talking about like 100,000 slaves right there. Estimated 100,000 slaves working across the UK, 10,000 in coronavirus city of however you say that. But these are like, you're not supposed to talk about this stuff. You're not supposed to talk about these. And where would reparations end? Are they really going to Ancestry.com people down and find out, you know, some guy's living in a single wide trailer on half an acre and take his land from him? Because, you know, 400 years ago, somebody else did a bad thing. And you can't even really prove that those people back then are actually your genetic heritage, because nobody knows who was doing what behind the woodshed. There's no way to keep track of those kind of things, and a lot of people assume that they're a certain kind of person. When, if you remember a while back, Ancestry.com and some of these guys got in trouble for fraud, and the fraud that they were doing was saying that they could track your ancestry back to a certain kind of people somewhere. So they were kind of preying on African Americans, because they wanted to know some kind of history other than American history. And they would buy these kits, and they would tell them, hey, don't worry, you're from the Watusi tribe, right, or whatever tribe it is. But what they don't tell them is that only checks one marker on either side. So you're leaving out, like, I don't know, 300,000 different ancestors and their stories and their origins and all of that, because those things are so imprecise whenever you're tracking back a specific gene to a specific people. And you're right. What about all the people that came long after the Civil War? Why would they owe anything? I mean, in a court of law, you would do you get a card that says, you know, I'm that, what the thing is think about that. You said you had family from Lithuania, which would rule out that you're an Anglo-Saxon, like the Germanic tribes that settled in Great Britain, right? So those are the people that are actually getting blamed. But somehow, I don't know, in the last 100 years, they've lumped together everybody of a Caucasian persuasion as an Anglo-Saxon person, even though that has nothing to do with their heritage at all.
Yeah, and you know, those ancestry sites also were found to be in violation by giving your DNA and the entire database of DNA through every single company to the FBI to try to run checks. Now, once they got caught doing that, they tried to do the PR spin, like, see, it's so good, we were able to solve unsolved murders by giving the DNA to all these people. You should applaud us for giving the FBI all of your data, because there's so many solved cases and crimes now.
Yeah, don't worry about it.
Realize all your data has been turned over to the FBI. They have an entire new database of DNA based on people who sent those samples in, and that entire, there were millions, tens of millions of DNA samples. And now with the COVID, they're getting more millions, millions, millions of more DNA samples. Do you really think they're only testing for the COVID and they're just like, oh, we're just going to go test it, you're positive, negative? They're harvesting your DNA. Everybody who's ever taken a COVID test, your DNA is now on file. It's nothing more than a vast harvesting of DNA, far beyond what the Ancestry.com was. And yeah, my personal belief is they're looking for markers that will allow you as a human to manifest at a different level. And hear me out for a second here. As we're going through this COVID thing, you know, the 6 feet apart rule, they found that people's biofrequency or bioresonance has expanded to try to touch other people, because the sheer amount of loneliness and it just feelings of sorrow and desperation and whatever else that comes with that by being a completely trapped, lonely individual, they found that people have expanded their biofrequencies from 6 feet out to like 10, 12 feet or more, some people 15. Now, the new rule that's coming out with the new lockdown 2.0, they're going to try to make everybody stand 10 feet apart. So perhaps when somebody can find themselves resonating at a higher, deeper, wider level, they're going to be finding those people. I think we talked about this last week. It was very similar to the movie Jumper.
Yeah. Or X-Men or any of these other
things. So where's all this DNA? See, this is the reason I brought that up is if they're able to find their particular type of DNA and they're able to map out the person who's able to expand their bioresonance and biofrequency, and then all you're doing is like, you know, just putting, okay, you're looking for this marker A, and then they have all these registries of database from what you're just easy stuff that you send it in to get the family registry, and then all of a sudden all this COVID testing, so it's quite easy to find the DNA markers then. They're just going house to house to find these people.
Not only that, they, you know, they send, and I know this from donating blood one time. See, when I was younger and I was broke, I needed to make some quick money. And I found out that, you know, some of these companies where I lived would pay, you know, for the day you go in there and you give them some blood. And I was thinking, you know, I could help people, blah, blah, blah. And I go there and they're like, well, what's your blood type? And I say, well, I'm an O negative. They kick someone out of the chair and pay him his $15, because they were only given $15 for those blood types. But O negative got $45. So they kicked the guy out. He barely started donating the blood. And then, you know, I thought that was really weird. And I went back there a couple times. And then I looked into the company. The company makes medications specific to people's DNA. So what they're doing is they're stealing your genetic code to break it down and make medicines for specific people. And the Supreme Court has ruled that they can't patent a gene. However, they can patent a medicine that only works on a certain gene, right? So that was kind of creepy that this company, you know, the way they got excited too, like because of my blood type. So obviously there's something besides being a universal donor about O negative blood that really gets them excited. They can do a lot of science with it, I guess. If you've ever looked into that, there's a lot of anecdotal stories about O negative blood, but you'll be hard-pressed to find one serious scientific paper, peer-reviewed paper that's about O negative blood or even any of the other negative bloods and how it's actually different. For some reason, there's just this absence of information when it comes to that subject. And I wanted to ask you about this, David. This is – you remember when everybody was making fun of Trump because he said that you could possibly treat – the COVID from UV radiation, maybe internally somehow. And everybody laughed at him. And then this company, this is funny. So I think that this company, I think I have it muted here. Let me, yeah, there we go. So everybody's looking at it. It's a laparoscopic, I guess, like the camera they put up your butt to find colon cancer, except for it's a camera with LED lights on it that put off UV radiation to go inside of your esophagus and go down and, you know, kill a variety of viruses and bacteria, they claim. And they're using little, computer-generated COVIDs, and they ask, could this be used for COVID, right? That's all they did. So YouTube bans them. Twitter bans them. They get totally taken off because it actually – backs up what Trump was saying. But what's really weird is if you find this company right here, AYTU, right after that happened here, and I'm going to show you guys, it was AYTU, and look at their stock when that happened. Boom. What happened?
It went from a penny to like $100 in a day.
Yeah, it went straight up right there, and it's been steadily making money. Like if you look at the bigger graph, they made a bunch of money for killing their own technology because that's not the narrative. Is that not crazy? Now, I'm not saying they got paid. I'm just saying their stock skyrocketed when people found out that there's a company that's getting banned off of the social platforms because of a FDA non-approved method of maybe killing stuff. And then, you know, the CDC and the WHO admit that just a little while outside in the daylight pretty much eliminates most of your chance of getting the COVID, and asymptomatic people are not spreading it. Yet, almost everywhere in the world, they got a piece of dirty cloth on their face. Now, it's how do you get to a point where you can brainwash billions of people to go about their daily lives, but just add one little thing that we told you to do? Just one thing, if we can tell you to do that, then there'll be two things we can tell you to do, and you're just going to do it.
How about an occultist ritual with the changes of the age? Whether it be the change from the Kali Yuga into the Dwapara Yuga, or moving into the age of Aquarius, or the Mayan change of the age into the fifth time of man. If you have all these rituals going on, it's something far beyond what you might think that, oh, they're just trying to control you, or they're trying to protect you, or whatever it is. It's a ritual of the change of the age. So look at it from this perspective. Instead of governments trying to take control, that's one thing. Okay, that's a different layer. We're looking at different layers of power here. But when you look at this highest, elitist, occult, top of the pyramid, if you will, they're super into this. Changes of the ages, changes of the times, using the energies of the change of the sun, using the fear factor, you know, like different resonant frequency, the way you think, the way you vibrate, the way that you put a resonant field out into the people around you, the rooms you're in. If I started screaming into the microphone, it would give you a very different effect. The softer I talk, it gives you a different effect. So these fields of, you know, again, these are surrounding you. These are fields of energy surrounding you. If you can manipulate that itself, what would you do with that power? Changing of the age. When you know two things are going to happen. First, the human race is going to be able to manifest and connect at a faster rate than it did before, because the change in the sun's magnetic field allows our hemispheres and our brains to perceive reality differently and work with the atomical structure of reality differently as well. And not only the thoughts, but the connectivity between you and I and everybody listening is going to be quite different. We're going to be able to connect faster, manifest faster, change faster, and vibrate higher. But you have to realize these entities and beings, these elitists, they're vibrating at a very low frequency. Changes of the ages. They're trying to hold their power as we come into a higher vibration state where things vibrate literally faster. Your molecules, your atoms are moving faster, but they're stuck in this more iron density. It's almost like a great white shark trying to bite your foot and bring you back down in as we're escaping. Because I'll say it again. I'm going to say this every time we talk. Go back to, let's say, August and September of 2019, just last year, a few months ago. How many protests were going on the planet that wanted change in the central banking system? They wanted change in the way the government was structured. They wanted changes in the way that spending was done by governments, because most people were getting zero benefit. 22 countries, 22. And then those cells of people, of millions of people on the street, literally coming together to effect true change, were then connecting, and it just became, it was sweeping the planet. And then suddenly this COVID came out. It's too coincidental that it came out to stop the rise organically of the human race wanting change over this, whatever, I guess, spell has been on us for thousands of years. And I'll leave it there, because I can't articulate myself.
No, I well think enough. You did it perfectly. And you're talking about these, rituals.
It's so deep. It's hard to explain it in words. You know, you can't really have, there's not enough words in the English language to explain what I'm talking about. But I think
I might be able to. What if you were one of these, people that live at this low vibration because you either serve an entity or you don't even know it's there? Let's just say that. Would you gather a bunch of people up, right? And you were talking about this energy field around a human being. So what do you think would happen if, you make people lonely from separation, but what if you got a bunch of people together and you blindfolded them and you hit them and you put them on a starvation diet and you made them all wear the same color clothes and then you shipped them off to a big facility and then grouped them really tight packed together where their energy fields are all negative and all pressing up against each other. And what I'm talking about is something similar to what we all know happened in World War II, but it's happening right now. And I don't know how to say this, her, and you can see all of these people crammed together. Look how close they are. They're not worried about social distancing those people. Here, let me make it big screen so everybody can see, right? Look at them. These are all people at the lowest vibration right now because they're captured. They're being tortured. I wouldn't be surprised if a lot of these people were from Hong Kong. They say most of them are Muslim, but we have no idea who any of the people are. And you can see the police, they almost have one person for like every five people, I would say, right there. It's like a pyramid. So you got five prisoners, one guard, and then that guard has a boss, and that boss has a boss all the way up the communist food chain, and they're making these torture spots. So if there was an agenda to like turn off everyone's field, it makes sense that, if there's a positive thing you're trying to prevent, that there's a negative thing that you could make happen. And China is doing it right now, as you can see. I mean, this isn't the first footage to come out like this. Look how many guards there are per prisoner. And that's to keep them in line.
Yeah, they're called Uyghurs. Uyghur is the way you would say that.
Okay. Yeah, I didn't know how to say that one
Muslim Uyghurs
there.
In Xinjiang, that's in western China, out near the Kyrgyzstan border and Kazakhstan as well. The stands out when you get out west there.
Yeah, and here's like the old one, but it's pretty much the same footage, and you can see they cram packed these people. Well, there's no telling that that's actually who they are. That's kind of my point now at this point, because we don't know who they're throwing in there. They could be from Hong Kong. They could be captured other people from Taiwan. All we know is they're people that have masks on. They have masks on, and they're also chained up, and they're not social distancing them. Matter of fact, when they panned out, you could see that it was a really big platform next to a train thing. But
yeah, they're being put on trains. Gee, that takes me back to the past too. Sorry to interrupt.
No, exactly. That's what I'm saying. This has all happened before. It was just, you know, under the socialist flag instead of the communist flag, and we're turning a blind eye to it. We've cut ties with Hong Kong. Totally, pretty much saying that they're on their own. You know, they're no longer autonomous, so we're not going to be dealing with anybody from Hong Kong anymore officially with the U.S. Even though I have a feeling that if we were going to start a proxy war, that's the place we would do it.
Yeah, and for those of you listening out there, if you're seeing the news feeds, and there are quite a few, if you're looking at Asian news, you're going to see it. Not so much here in the U.S. yet, but you know, I used to live over in Taipei, and I still talk daily with people over there. The Chinese have amassed the largest amount of military gear, far surpassing the 1990, what they thought was going to be an invasion of Taiwan back in the 1990s. So the amount of military craft, PT boats, and the use of fishing boats by the thousands, which they normally do, they don't use regular marked military craft. They use the fishermen to go out and cause stir trouble in the seas over there and ram boats and whatnot. But it appears right now with the amount of staging is the best way or term I could use for it, that they're about to invade an island offshore. Now, my personal feeling, maybe they don't go to full Taiwan, but they could take Penghu Island. They might go out to the Diaoyu Island. I don't know. The amount of vessels out there is definitely set for an invasion. They're talking about tens of thousands of amphibious landing craft and different types of things being assembled right now. Military and missile batteries are being put on the shores right along Fujian province, right near a place called Xiamen, X-I-A-M-E-N. So any X is in Chinese, remember, Xi, sh, sh. So if you get X, is a sh, like Xiamen. Sh. Or Xinjiang, which is another X-I-A-N-G, like Xinjiang is where you're talking about with the Uyghurs out there. So anytime you see an X in Chinese, you pronounce it as an S in English language. Uh-huh. So the amount of military staging right now is frightening an enormous amount of people. Taiwan is on super high alert right now. All the boys have been called back to military service in an instant fashion. So everybody was just going about their daily lives yesterday. And apparently it was out of one of those strange movies where everybody's phone rang at the same time. Everybody got emails. Everybody got Line, which is a popular app that they're using, blasted across everybody instantly. You're coming back to the bases. You need to arm up. You need to leave your families. You guys need to get as much food as you can in your houses and whatever's happening, and everybody's being pulled back. So Taiwan used to have this rule where if you were a military-aged boy, man, coming out of, you had to delay your university entry to go serve for 2 years in the military before you were allowed to enter the or to go to the university after that. So everybody had 2 years of military experience up until 3 years ago. Then they stopped that. So everybody's pretty well trained in Taiwan in terms of forces, but they're activating all the coastal batteries. Like I used to live 3 miles from the coast when I was there, and you know, these old pillboxes from World War II, you know, they had all the trails. So if you go hiking coastal trails, you'd be able to jump in on the, you know, with the Japanese pillboxes that they had, you know, reclaimed. And they put an enormous amount of not only hurricane defenses or typhoons over there. So when the giant waves would smash up on the shore, they had all these, you know, you see those octagon or the trigonal kind of concrete blocks that fix in on each other. That was for the typhoons, but it was also to stop the Chinese military from invading. Because if the Chinese military tries to come to the west coast of Taiwan, they're going to get tied up in all kind of shore defenses that are also for typhoon protection, so there's no beach erosion. But at the same time, you know, the hill defenses on there. Because I was complaining, saying, all right, when we go to the beach, we have to drive down this 500-foot hill in a switchy, wind back road into a bay and then climb over rocks to get out to go for a swim. But it was great exercise because you could go rock hopping along the coast there if you like. But those are all activated now, all of it. And I talked to my friend Sean, who lives in a different part of the city, and he's like, can't say it on the word here. But the entire riverbed was a missile launch over there, missile battery. So in Taiwan, too, if you're going to go out to along the rivers, they have all these bike trails, and generally it's picnic spots, and they made it really nice. There's hundreds of miles of bike trails if you want to go out it for exercise. And if it's not flooded, the walls there. Coming up the rivers, also secondary defense, because first of all, it's for the massive floods that come off the typhoons, because the typhoons drop feet of rain in a day, and these tall walls prevent the water from flooding into the city. But at the same time, they're also for defenses, so if Chinese troops want to come up the rivers on boats, they're going to be walled in like a walled city. Anyway, Sean tells me, man, we can't even go down there. The military won't let us in. Everybody's in uniform, and the missile batteries are completely lining on this one side of the river where they go to. That was in 24 to 48 hours from the few days ago. And it seems that whatever China did alerted Taiwan to possible invasion. So they are at full activation over there. Full activation. Everybody's freaked out. Everybody's freaked out. And I'll leave it there.
Well, they should have been freaked out for a long time. I mean, ever since Obama moved the fleet that had been there since the 50s, and then we kind of left them with a bunch of missiles and a couple of Apache helicopters and whatnot, enough to just, make a little skirmish. The Chinese have a lot of resources, though. It would be something for the whole world to look at if we could see it. But what if I told you that China has kind of already won an economic war with the United States as far as sway? And I'll show you this thing here that I was reading, and it really kind of tripped me out. So it's talking about soon you'll have to wear a mask to enter virtually every major retail store in America. Now, why is that? And it gets into this long, boring article about the reasons, blah, 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 COVID. But when you get down here, you see this thing where it says the National Retail Federation, kind of mm-hmm. like the Trade Federation on Star Wars, if you know what I mean. So it's a whole force of billionaire companies that all just got together, including Walmart, whose biggest customer in real life is China, and our vendor, I mean, I should say. They get so much goods from China that China runs this board, the National Retail Federation Trade Group, right here. And this is some of this world government. So just from this alone, they can cause havoc on the United States, playing with our retail stores, putting out of business all of these small to middle-sized businesses that have a lot of employees that are, you could still call mom and pop, somewhere in the middle class. Those are disappearing. They're killing those. And this big organization that has nothing to do with our government or any of that stuff, which I would think probably works directly for Trilateral Commission or the IRS, I mean, not the IRS, the Private Federal Reserve Bank and China, because those seem to be hand in hand now on the decisions they're making. So even if we had a military thing, China has big sway. They own almost all of our movie companies now. Even the AMC, which is American Movie, or what is it, American Movie Classics or American Movie Channel or whatever, is also owned by the Chinese. So all of the most popular television shows that you watch all have little tiny amounts of Chinese programming in them that you're supposed to overlook and pretend, you know, you didn't hear it. They even rewrite our movies if they don't like the scripts. So in that way, China already has a major foothold in the United States. And another weird thing, the Chinese corporations and private citizens are allowed to own land in the United States. And they own a lot of it.
Hence the reason for you to do a title search if you're going to be buying any more remote land, because the Chinese a few years ago came in and bought up vast swaths of what you consider nothingness land out there by the thousands and thousands and thousands and thousands and thousands and tens of thousands of acres. So if you're going to buy more remote farming land, do a title search. I know it costs a little money. Spend a couple hundred bucks to do it, because that title search and then having the title insurance, if anything goes wrong with the land you bought, they're liable because they didn't search deeply enough in the records to see who owns that. Because it would sure irk me if my land on my 20 acres came back and the Chinese come in and go, no, we own this. I'd be like, you don't own this, my friends. You can try to take it, but we're going to have a little mincing of words here. So, if, you know, buying land myself, being a landowner, you definitely need to do a title search and then have that title insurance. But Ransom, can I throw something to you here? Now, everybody listening tonight, we haven't talked before the program. You know, we send, you know, some links back and forth to each other. But when you were talking about that coalition of stores that are going to make you wear masks to go into the stores.
Yeah.
I am releasing a video after our program tonight talking about the you as anybody listening out there, you're going to be owned by a company. Literally owned by a company. So this whole thing about slavery and reparations, whatever, is kind of a moot point because we're moving from now into lockdown 2.0. Companies are going to take actual delivery and ownership of your bodies in this thing called the Identity for All Council, I4A. Now, these same companies you just referenced are pushing this self-sovereign identity. And what they're going to do first to try to soft drip it in is something called the COVID immunity passport. Now, the way they're going to link this and make it all work is they're going to be using a distributed ledger identification system, and that's going to give you a self-sovereign identity. Now, when you look down in Singapore, there's hundreds and hundreds of big companies, and one of the main companies pushing all this is MasterCard. Because they're trying to join this digital identity alliance ID 2020 and move everything in with digital asset service plans. Now, see, that's the whole thing. To try to get, well, we're going to give you a digital asset service plan. That's fine, where you can trade crypto and do everything through Visa and MasterCard. But the whole ID 2020, which, you know, a lot of people don't like that. And my personal self, why do I have to give you all this biometric data to get a driver's license, to get onto an airplane when I already had a passport? Like, my passport wasn't good enough. So you want me to give all this biometric data so I can drive a car? Okay, fine. But when we come into this company called Evernim, they're the main funded entity from the same names you keep hearing again, IBM, Oracle, Microsoft, and what they want to do is put this, they're the leaders of the COVID Credentials Initiative, the CCI. Now, what they're trying to do is do this interoperable overlay of government, corporation, individuals, banking, where there's, they call it the Trust Over IP Stack. Now, when you get this Trust Over IP Stack, here's where it gets real strange, because Sovereign, the decentralized identity, then says, you're going to be the holder, you and me, that just the average person on the street, we're the holder. So it goes in a triangle. It's so strange, too. It makes a pyramid the way they put these graphics out here. So there's three parts of the pyramid. The holder is you and I. They have the verifier, and then they have the issuer. Now, the issuer are just these groups like MasterCard and whatever making up their own groups, just like you're referencing there with the, you know, the people who are selling things, as corporates that are selling stuff. They're the issuers. But then the verifiers is all the tech companies that are going to then have these interoperable integrated systems on the blockchain that can verify your identity. But the issuer, this is the scariest thing, the issuer, they're the ones who give you the digital issuance, but they take control of you. They're given a sovereign right to control your body, your financial output, because they are the ones who are then putting up an issuance and the guarantee against you. They're going to issue you your COVID credentials. And because they're allowed to do that with ImmuniPass, and there's a couple others out here. I'm trying to think what they are. Give me a second here while I have my notes. COVID Pass, And what's the other one here? There's one more that came across my wire while I was working on the video here. Clear. Okay, there's three already. And we know that the price for the Immuni Pass is going to be $89 per month to keep your color-coded, phone-linked, integrated verifier through the issuer back to you pass. You're going to have to do this. So who's paying for it? It's $89 a month, and they're going to color-code you. Here's the strangest thing. Okay, red means you're infected. You have it in your blood. You could be, like I say, you know, you have no symptoms whatsoever. But because the COVID's in your blood, you're going to be termed and deemed red. You're not allowed in any stores. Now, you're going to have to take multiple tests until your immunity boost, whatever that means, changes to you have immunity now. And then they'll give you a green.
Ooh.
Here's the scariest thing. They also have a white color coding, which means you haven't been tested yet.
Oh, I thought that was the one that came with the mute button.
Yeah, close. But no. It means for me that they're going to give it to everybody across the world as a digital social security number. And everybody's going to have one, whether you want it or not. And you're going to be deemed white if you haven't taken the test, because they're going to do it blanket across all 8 billion people. And it goes right back into the corporate governance, which you just referenced. And can you tell me the name of that group again? I want to try to lump that in my video when I finish tonight.
Let me see here. I think I didn't shut it. Let me look.
Yeah, so my bad for rolling on that. But it's really absolutely deep, where the corporations are going to own you, and they're going to dictate what hoops you have to jump through to get into the stores. And this includes supermarkets. You're not going to be allowed in a supermarket unless you go through their verification process.
And you're not going to be able to fake it either. It is called the, let's see here, where was it? The National Retail Federation Trade Group. And it, you know how it sounds, just like it sounds just like on Star Wars. You know, they had a fake war with this Federation Trade Group that you know, had businesses from different worlds or whatever. Let's see here. Yeah, there it is, right there. National Retail Federation Trade Group. It's retailers, like it's all of the mega chains getting together, and basically they're using the CDC as the reason for everything, as the, you know, guidelines. So you can see how they all work together. And I played this thing at the beginning. That was this news guy going off about why would you listen to Bill Gates when he hung out with Epstein, you know, and I don't want advice from people like Epstein. I'm not going to say the word, but, you know, or people that like to hang out with those kind of people. So that was kind of, you know. And I wanted to get to the point that you were talking about there about these passports and these you know, digital information identification systems. And here, I'm going to share this. I was showing it while you were talking. If you think you're going to fake it, if you're not going to take the shot, if you're going to get around it, I want you guys to look at this. This is just a basic program. So this isn't even like a hardcore program. They're not using a super computer or nothing. It's just a basic one that shows where infrared heat, and it pretty much tells them right away that this is a deep fake combination photograph. This person does not exist right here. This picture, this is a made up picture. But
yeah, saw that one too. That's incredible.
Yeah, so you're not going to be faking pictures. However, they're going to be able to fake them to you. They can say that, hey, look at these 60 people that all died from COVID, or these 60 people got shot, or these 180 people died in an airline, you know, and we'll never know. I mean, unless you're using the same kind of software back on the mainstream news media and back on the system to tell what's fakes, because they're doing it to the public. So they have this all set up. You're not going to be able to fake your metadata or pictures or none of that and come up with fake passports with the right colors on them and stuff like that.
No, it'll come down to a barterable thing where you use gold, silver, or any type of thing, maybe seeds, food, or whatever, to trade for that person to go in to buy things for you. So let's say I don't want to take part in the new system, and that's fine. I'll go back to my land. We have a nice community out there about a mile from the Amish community. A lot of people are really self-sufficient. It's kind of a an old farming community that's been around for quite a while. It's very more remote and, you know, it wasn't welcoming back in the day. So it's become welcoming now with all the tourism and thing. But I could quickly see it reverting back to stay off of this area. So what if I do need something from a store and I don't want to get there? I talked to David Morgan. He runs the Morgan Report, Silver Guy. We had a great interview the other day. And he was saying, dude, there's so many ways around this. How about the black market? You could just pay somebody to go in there and do it for you and do the shopping for you. And I was like, well, you know, along with this whole tie-in of the digital identity, they're going to be bringing on a new digital wallet for you to receive your universal basic income that's going to be tied to you with the digital identity. It's going to be a cryptocurrency like the Fed coin, for example, deposited into your wallet. And then that money is going to be spent from you, tracked from you for your purchases to go into approved stores, only allowed in after you go through the hoops and hurdles of the test and the immunity passport and all these things. Now you're going to have to pay. And again, I come back to who's paying for this? But I digress. If I give you an ounce of silver, would you go in with sound money and then buy me what I need? You know, the average, okay, so the universal basic income that I was told is going to be $1,200 US per month after the reset.
That's
so that $1,200 is going to be worth way more than you understand what it is now. The $1,200 would be enough for you to pay your rent, get your food, get your alcohol and booze, have some clothes and do everything. So the reset's definitely going to knock a zero off of something, because if you can do all that for $1,200, come on, really? So anyway, it's going to be $1,200 per person deposited into your digital wallet after the reset on a new kind of monetary system that's going to be digital across the planet. Fine. It's called Central Bank Digital Currency, CBDC. Now, let's say a medicine costs $5 or some kind of specialty vinegar that I need to do something for canning costs $10. Okay, well, I'm not going to partake in the system, so I'm not going to get tracked, and I don't care. I'm going to grow my own food, have my own water, have my land, and have my own community, and that's fine. I don't need all this stuff. Although we might need something for metals, but you know, these people out there do blacksmithing, whatever. If I need you to get something, maybe I'll give you a round of silver that's going to be worth way more than the CBDC, Central Bank Digital Currency, and maybe you'll go buy that for me. There's always going to be a black market out there, and this is the whole thing, David. I learned the most from him out of that interview was that two or three sentences where he's like, you're naive. There's always going to be a black market. There's always people that are going to want to get something outside the system that are willing to do work for you, to do anything for you to get that thing they can't get inside the system. And we'll leave it there.
So I'm showing these stimulus check. And it's funny you said that about the $1,200 universal income, because that's the exact amount that's the stimulus relief to ordinary citizens. And I was reading a lot about that because I was thinking, hey, man, one of those checks would be mighty nice for me. But I was reading it and it was talking about how this time around, the second time around that they're going to be giving stimulus checks out, they're not going to be giving checks. You're going to have to get a digital card or you're not going to get the stimulus, or direct deposit, of course, which translates again back to a card and a digital system. The whole thing that they're doing, and I see it now, it's a takeover of the American government by the corporation, which is indeed literally a fascist state, a communist state, by default, because the corporations are running what's going on and they're circumventing the law of the land, the Constitution. Nobody's voting on these things. Nobody's doing this or that. And the government is being, cooperative by setting it up to, people that are being hurt by giving you some chump change of your own money. You know, you probably paid in 10 times or maybe 100 times that amount in just regular taxes. And let's see here. I wanted to also show you this. What happened to all the money that they made last year, right? They made record amounts of income taxes. Money. So I was trying to show, kind of a little mind thing. Look, these are two different, headlines at the same time. States where the infrastructure's falling apart. everything's busted. But where did all the money go? And you were asking who's paying for all these changeovers. You are. They're giving all of this money just pretty much goes right back into billionaire hands, whether you got a stimulus check or whether or not it was a stimulus relief for some kind of company. And you can just see these giant numbers of stuff just disappearing. This is the continuation of what was talked about under the Obama administration. The greatest transformation of wealth in human history is what's going on right now. And at the same time, they want to keep you occupied with the fear of viruses. If you didn't hear already, there's a deadly elephant virus that could jump to humans. Could, remember, could, would, should, might be, and maybe. But I thought maybe we would change the topic over here to something really cool.
Possibly.
I'm sure you might have saw this. You're very, apt.
No, I haven't seen that one. I've been really busy. I went to try to drill a well with so we're trying to go to a deeper well than 180 feet on my land here with a guy who drills wells. He's like, all right, I'll explain it in a minute. Go ahead. I'm sorry to cut you off.
No, that's cool. I was just saying, I have no idea what these deep space anomalies are either. I thought we'd talk about it, though. Like, what could it possibly be?
Yeah, explain it to me, and let me see what we have here.
So basically, they've discovered four objects out in deep space that have giant radio rings around them, and they can't really see the objects with any kind of visual or infrared or anything like that.
But how do they know they're there?
They see the radio rings, and inside one of them is a little galaxy, supposedly. And, you know, it's in this little tiny degree of the sky that they're talking about. And basically what they're saying is they're calling it an orc. The orcs are coming for you right here. Orcs are bright at radio wavelengths, but invisible in infrared and X-ray. But two of the orcs have galaxies at the center of them. So they really don't know, and they're talking about they just a new anomaly. But I thought it was funny that everything has to be some kind of acronym that sounds like it's out of, some kind of fantasy. Lord of the Rings, the orcs are coming. No, I'm wondering if that's evidence of a cycle where, you know, kind of we're getting to see from a long ways away some kind of energy change. And we talk all the time about these energies that come in. And right now we know our magnetic sphere is pretty much shrank to nothing, and we're getting blasts from cosmic radiation. We're getting UVC rays and UVA and UVB and God knows what else, gamma rays and whatever else, all from the universe right now on top of a big giant donut of 5G radiation. But don't worry, that's safe and effective. It's non-ionizing.
Well, maybe it's for blocking. So again, these same nefarious powers, perhaps putting out 5G to try to block the natural upgrades of us. So don't think about it in a negative sense. Think about all these cosmic waves sweeping through as an upgrade of humanity. But then you have these dark powers that are putting out this vibration, whatever it is in the 5G realm across, say, because they have the satellites too. So you're talking about 100 miles thick layer of a different type of radiation. So it seems like they're trying to offset waves here. Because, you know, Bose canceling headsets do something in the same thing. So take a 100-mile thick layer across the planet and put a vibration frequency into it. But if you know the cosmic wave that is coming from, maybe you're referencing a starburst here, that they know already exactly what the frequency would be, and then 5G is attuned to that, they would cancel that out totally. And then that wave would sweep by us, and the human, us, we would not get the upgrade. And they're going to try to keep us down into this darker age. But, you know, I'm looking at this thing going, we're talking about cosmic energies here. Do you think really that a cosmic wave blasting through would override a simple 5G network on the planet? I would think that the silliness, thinking that they could control literally pulses from the center of the galaxy coming out to upgrade, at least in our small star system here, our tiny Earth and our tiny Sun, which is very small in comparison to others, that somehow a little tiny 5G grid network with the thing on the surface of the Earth and little satellite can suddenly stop the universal consciousness from blasting through this thing on multidimensional waves? Really?
I don't know. They said those little soccer balls are all upgraded there. So, you know, do you even believe that? So for a long time, we could barely see satellites. Now they're talking about, oh, the old satellites are probably going to be falling down in the skies. And we're sending up all these other ones. And I'm looking at them. You know, I'm looking at the design of them.
Starlink.
I don't see much upgraded technology on there. Maybe some cool sensors or whatnot. But basically, this is the same thing we've been sending up since the 60s. I mean, it's just got some digital stuff on it. But allegedly, these are of a new design, and they can handle maybe what's coming as far as radiation-wise. We wouldn't know unless one of them fell to Earth and you got to look at it, you know, because it's all SpaceX and Space Force. But they're bragging, you know, that, look, we could see the sun and we can see all of it. But nowhere in this article I was looking does it say anything about solar cycles or yada, yada, yada. Nothing. It's just, look, we're cool. And we saw little campfires near its surface on the sun because we're cool like that now.
No, again, it's all about not warning the human race about these inbound changes. These radiation changes, the cosmic ray density changes, the electromagnetic changes. There's so much change going on in this turn of the age. And it's really interesting because when you go back to the turning of the age, they only occur at once every 2,000 years. And the yugas as well, they come on. You're talking about a 12,000-year cycle through five different iterations. And then we have the age of it. You know, you go around the zodiac as well, and we're coming into a change on a 2,000-year coming into the Aquarius age.
So that makes so much
sense. Of course you would
sense.
Expect energetic density changes. I mean, obviously there would be because they've been marked in history as gigantic changes for humanity every time they occur. So why would it not be different this time? And you know, that Starlink thing, they're in such low Earth orbit. So that's the difference. Yeah. Space station, whatever, you can see it sometimes if it's glinting in the sunlight. But when you're coming out and you're looking at these satellites, the reason you couldn't see them is because they were so much higher. So for me, this indicates two different things for me coming in such low Earth orbit. Like you talked about the magnetic field of the planet changing. Okay, so if it's a really strong magnetic field, it's going to be super far out from the planet. So our satellites can't operate in that without being actually in the Earth sphere. So they're validating that the electromagnetic shielding of the Earth has shrunken down to the point where they can put the satellites just barely above that, but you're now able to see them.
Yeah, and they're protected now because the magnetosphere. You know, and I don't know if any of you guys have ever read this thing called A Project for a New American Century that was published, like, I think 1998 or 99.
I leave it on my coffee table every day to review it.
Oh, awesome. But, well, anyway, back then there was a neoconservative think tank that helped get George W. in office, consisting of several children of SS officers, including Karl Rove. And in that, you know, think tank book, they said they needed a new Pearl Harbor that killed about 5,000 people, or maybe 3,000 people. I might be wrong on the number. But also, they go into talking about how America has to control low Earth orbit, and we need to invade like seven countries, change over the Air Force to a completely AI Air Force and a completely AI Navy by 2025. Now, right now, in the skies above me recently, I'm pretty positive that Holloman Air Force Base is one of the bases where AI is practicing dogfighting human pilots. They've been doing all kinds of erratic stuff here. And I'm showing everybody this article for a long time so they could read it because it's spacesuits. It's called hazmat suits for air travel, but it's not. It's a spacesuit. But what it's not protecting you from is radiation, of course. But they want you to have this weird bubble boy immune system. And you were talking about this wave coming by. You might have to put everybody in a certain circumstance. Like you've pointed out their little field that's around them, their bioelectric field that's around them. And they're separating people from that. And then on top of that, we're going to you know, puts an obstacle in your breathing that collects viral and bacteria. So you can breathe in that all day. Plus the carbon monoxide and the carbon dioxide that builds up right around your nose that you're not supposed to be breathing in concentration. But that's okay. We'll forget about that. Let's skip all the way to making sure everyone just basically has a spacesuit on that doesn't protect anything from them, but instead isolates them, not only physically, electromagnetically, but also like all the way out of each other's atmosphere, so that there this idea of herd immunity, if it worked, and we know it did because we're still here on the Earth, right? That's ended. There's no more herd stuff. So if a virus, say, came out, I don't know, that jumped from elephants or whatever the latest scare is, it would be really easy to get all those people sick, and they probably would die from any kind of change in energy field. They wouldn't respond to it right. And I was just realizing, too, that we're talking about UVC. UVC is the you know, frequency that causes mass mutation and possibly even evolution. One of the other ones, I forget which, you know, gives you vitamin A, and the other one gives you skin cancer. And if you guys want to really trip yourself out, do a little bit of research on skin sunblock, and you'll realize it blocks out the wrong kind of UV light and allows the dangerous kind right through.
Yeah, check out this thing called Visor Tech. I just sent you the link through there. It's VYZRTECH.com. Now, this is a new, I think they went up on Indiegogo. And this is the thing that you're supposed to wear in the airplane, or you could wear in an airplane, that will protect you with a full visor across your face. And we're getting into the Jetsons at this point.
Yeah.
And it's kind of quirky, kind of unusual, and kind of interesting at the same time. On, you know, if you could put, again, we're talking about Faraday cages. So if you're going to put a Faraday cage around a human, this would be it right here, because it talks about something very similar to that.
That's it. That's the suit. That's the one. Here, I didn't share it. I'm sorry. Here we go. Yeah, that's the suit. There it is. That's the exact one that we were talking about. The in that article, they're talking about this. So it's basically a spacesuit. But think about this: you're up there, and they're talking about moving the chairs further apart, right? And they need room for you to wear this stupid thing on there. It's more control, and then you'll have to wear the little bracelet that tasers you if you act up or, you know, whatever. And how are you going to drink and eat in that thing if you're up there, you know? Oh, there's a little zipper on the side. But think about it, if they could get you to wear a mask and then they could get you to wear this, they've totally isolated your immune system, and then the only thing that's entering your body for the most part comes at the needle point. But don't worry, it has air purifier for your personal safety. Do you remember that old movie? I think it's Airplane, maybe, with Leslie Nielsen, where he's going to go get his freak on with his girlfriend, which is the Presley girl. Or I think it's the one that married Elvis Presley, his ex-wife or whatever. Or it might be their daughter, but I'm not sure. But anyway, they have these giant rubbers on, rubber suits, you know, with the, but they look like the kind you get in the bathroom stall. And they were wearing that whole thing, making fun of that. And now it's happening for real. There it is. In order to fly. But that thing doesn't protect you from radiation, does it? The only thing that you're getting in the sky.
Yeah, but I guess it's, imagine if they mandate these things, or you're going to have to wear them with these bubbles around you. Again, who's going to manufacture them, and who's going to mandate, and what bought off politicians are going to mandate that you have to wear this thing? Can you imagine trying to get on a plane and everybody has to wear one of these biovisor things? That's going to be ridiculous.
Yeah, but tell me how they made billions and billions of face masks within a couple months at a moment's notice for the whole world, ready to be supplied in Target and Walmart and all of these stores that are part of this trade federation.
Right, but you can't get a bicycle now. Right, supply chains are still functional for some things, right?
No, I mean, think about that. How did they make billions and billions of masks? Those little stupid cloth ones, even, that they're selling at Walmart, Target, everywhere. The dollar store has them. They have all the little patterns on them. They were ready to go. This stuff was ready to be manufactured. It reminds me of the oil companies that were literally already putting up pipeline on the very first day of invasion in Afghanistan.
They were never warned.
No,
weapons
they didn't.
Of mass destruction. Weapons of mass destruction.
No, it's coincidental. I don't know. I don't think so.
Mineral yeah. reserves maybe is coincidental.
We're not going to.
What
get...
about the Nord? What about the Nord pipeline that they're just getting ready to complete, and then suddenly the U.S. wants to put all these sanctions on Russia and everybody involved getting a pipeline together that's going to go around American control. Like, who cares? It's a pipeline under different country that they decided to come together in their own trading bloc and send the gas from Russia over to Europe across the northern route through part of the Arctic. Big deal. That's none of our business. That's their own private business. And now the U.S. wants to put sanctions on anybody partaking in the pipeline because they're going to lose their revenue stream. So it never stopped in Iraq. It's still going today. It's going right now. And it never stopped in Afghanistan. It's still going right now. So we're going to get into another conflict in the Arctic Circle because they want to put a natural gas pipeline financed by Russia to circumvent all U.S. control. Really? We're back at it again? Weapons of mass destruction.
It was called the New American Century, not the New American Decades.
Yeah, century.
Just saying. I don't know.
No, what is this? Oh, yeah, the pure oxygen. You know, even way back in the day, I was told about oxygen. This is when I was living in Hawaii way back, way in the early 90s. People were doing this already back then, too.
Back like in
getting
the
tanks 90s. Of oxygen. She had to get a doctor's note to get the tanks, and then you know people would breathe after they've been surfing all day to try to bring that back because you're doing so much heavy breathing when you're trying to duck dive and get slammed by a wave and swim in. There's a lot of heavy usage of your lungs and body when you're surfing, so people would try to rejuvenate themselves by breathing oxygen after they finish. Not at 100%. It was kind of a drip through feed. It would be most people sent it at like 20%, 30%, and they would just get that extra oxygen and bring everything back up.
The WMDs.
Isn't yeah, it was hugely popular in Hawaii. Everybody breathing oxygen. You could get a tank. You could get a doctor to write you a chit for a tank, and everybody had tanks after they'd go surf.
I saw a guy the other day with his oxygen bottle. I know him. He's an old Vietnam veteran that was friends with my grandpa. And he's been wheeling around that oxygen tank for years, but now he's got a mask on over the little thing that goes over his nose. Yeah, you got to wear your mask, you know. But there's supposed to be an exemption, but I seen him. He was wearing his mask, and he had the little oxygen tubes in there. So I guess he don't have to worry about carbon monoxide buildup. But you would think that he would. It's so crazy. I feel like Roddy Piper. And I'm going out, and if you don't put your mask on, they know that you're awake. They know that you're awake. And they can see you. But go get your vaccine.
I cut a big slit to make a smile in my mask. Well, I'm wearing a mask.
Big slit.
But it allows me to breathe. And I'm smiling.
What do you think about this here? Because I know you're on social media. Do you feel like... Because I look at your... people I know's Twitter, and it looks like they're in little boxes just like I am, where really they only preach to the choir, you know, only people that actually follow them sees anything. And Twitter got hacked, and it kind of exposed their internal tool here, allegedly, according to mm-hmm. some people.
Saw that.
That says that, you know, certain people, there is a little tool that keeps people in an echo chamber. And we already knew that. So it makes me wonder, do you think any of these executives are going to get in trouble like Roger Stone did for misstating something? That's what they say, that they just misstated it. They didn't mean to spy on it. But what's funny is look at all these names that got hacked. Barack Obama, Joe Biden, Bill Gates, Kanye West, Elon Musk, Wiz Khalifa. Apple, Uber, Jeff Bezos, right? And then there's a bunch more. And then they're trying to put a system over that has your private information, your medical information, your passport information, all into a system that's easily hacked like that. What if someone doesn't like you and they just decide, you know what? I'm going to delete your credit score. I'm going to make your social credit score go down to a 3.5. And I'm sure everybody's probably watched the show by now, Black Mirror, and there's a whole episode about a social credit score. And the girl's freaking out because everybody keeps down, you know, making her number go down. And eventually she has to hang out with regular folks that don't care, finally. You know, but they don't interact with any of the cool stuff in society anymore.
Welcome to the new world. Are you ready to accept it, or are you ready to step away and become a sovereign race outside this technocratic transhumanist agenda being pushed? Because I firmly believe that we are at the crux of a division of a Y in the road where people decide to move off and get outside of the system and become more self-sufficient in their own communities, back communing with nature. Are you going to stay on this technocratic road where you're going to adopt and accept every single jab in the arm, every single new regulation from the mask to the new whatever the visor thing is to cover you, to the new digital and the new everything, and you have to jump through the hoops, and you're going to do every single possible thing they ask to the Uber to keep that score up, to try to assimilate into the Borg. And I really believe where we're going with the technocratic human versus the hybrid, just the normal, you know, synthetic, but just the normal human of flesh and blood that lives outside the electronic system. You're going to need to make a choice with you and your children starting right about now. So how prepared are you to jump away and say, no, I will not accept the central bank digital currency wallets tied to everything so I can even enter a store without approval from some corporation who now claims to own me? That's no different than in the 1600s when the monarchs, I'll take it back to the 1300s, when anything crown owned all the serfs. Completely. We're reversing the clock back here about 700 years right now with these new COVID, you know, sovereign identity. They make it sound so good, like you're going to have a sovereign identity. You're going to be your own individual. Oh, yeah, sorry. The issuer owns you, and they put up a bond against you and insurance against you to own you, to give you this credential to allow you to operate in society. Awesome. Let's get to.
Well, I got a question for you. You know, I'm sure you know about Dubai and all of their miracles of modern creation there. They're putting up giant buildings over there and, you know, awesome parties. This is one of the countries that I can assure you, you know, does good because their neighbors allow slavery. So who do you think's working in all of these things to put up these massive things where people can drive around with gold plated and gold tinted windows and, you know, where was it? I wanted to show you this stuff. Flying Ferraris around. They deliver pizza in it. They play with lions. This is the exact, you know, feudalistic system you were talking about, where there's like a whole class of people that are super rich off the backs of poor people here. And if you know the history kind of the Middle East there, there were bandits that used to rob people, and that's who we're calling the sheiks and whatnot now. They used to rob people. But look at this giant sailboat, one of the tallest hotels in the world, and everybody else in the world, you know, is tripping on what are they going to eat soon. Why do you think they have so much money? It's not just oil money. These are the same people that are doing business with China about the aqueducts and stuff like that that you were talking about. It's just massive amounts of money. And if this is not kings and queens and you know, Europe is the same thing. The people in Europe go over here and hang out, of course, in places like Dubai, where you can get your pizza delivered in a Ferrari and Caucasian cuisine.
It's kind of above the – even if you took it to the most opulent that you could possibly imagine in your life, they have it about 10x or 50x above what you can think.
But they eat Caucasian cuisine. What do you think's in there, like trailer park food or something? I'm just kidding. No. I'm just kidding. You notice that over there they're not calling it the Anglo-Saxon cuisine. they're calling it Caucasian, but what does that even mean? That means so many people, like all the people in India, the Middle East, everybody that's in the New World that has Spanish ancestry or Jewish ancestry. And a lot of people don't know that most of the boats at the time that came over and colonized the New World were full of dock workers and people that were Jews. They had Spanish names to hide because there was a thing going on telling them to leave at the time. So it's funny that they call this Caucasian cuisine. Does it the taste of the Iberian people?
The no. Iberians.
I'm just kidding. I'm kidding.
Shall we have tea really with fun. The queen with the Iberians tonight?
I actually wanted to do a show with you. I've been sitting talking about, you know, with my family. I've been showing them all kinds of stuff. I'm a fan of Robert Zephyr, that's kind of, you know, an anthropologist that just does his own thing. He doesn't really care what the academic community thinks about him or whatever. And then I link what he talks about to these other things that are going on over here in the, and I'm sure he'll be talking about them, but all through South America. And I can get it all together, and I think I should do that and just show everybody examples of this. I'm going to say descendants of a group of people that were the original builders, or you could call them Atlanteans or whatever you want to call them, that came out of the, you know, most likely really came out of the Indus Aryan Valley there and civilizations, but had moved away. But everywhere in the world where there's megalithic stuff nearby, you can find all the way up into modern times. If you've ever heard of Machu Picchu, they used to have a people that lived there that happened to be blonde and blue-eyed. And Pizarro said they were the most beautiful people ever. Now, I'm sure he had a bias because they were white-looking people and he came from Spain and everything. But they're not the only ones. There's Incan princesses that have you know, little things that show that they were a blue-eyed person. They have red hair. There's all kinds of mummies from the tip of South America all the way up into the area of the Maya, at least, in the New World, that has a history of the blue-eyed builders. Nobody knows who they were, but there were some descendants in recent times, like all the way to the point where I'm sure you've seen the recent article about these ancient Hebrew artifacts that were found in Puerto Rico that are old, like way pre-Columbian colonization. But I thought that would be a great topic to talk about. They weren't Caucasians, by the way. We're talking about somebody way more ancient than that, just to put that out there. But the oldest mummies in Egypt that they have found, they were fair-haired and had light-colored eyes. We know that, like, Ramses, and we know the Prophet Muhammad was a redhead. Don't know about his eyes, but Ramses was described as a redhead, too, from Libya. There's also the Berber people that are indigenous white people from Africa. They're not Europeans. They're not Europeans. They're not. Their DNA says they didn't come from Europe. They live there, and now they still live there. And what's weird is some of the oldest symbols also go around with these cultures all around the world.
Yeah, and the center point seems to be, you know, the fair skin, redheaded. And if I say redheaded, where is the first place you think of?
Well, a lot of people think of like Ireland, but
yeah, Ireland, right?
That's one pocket. What's their history? They claim, you know, some Egyptian princess came up there.
Indeed. And then if you take a look further back, you start to see an enormous amount of, you know, I wouldn't say megalithic, but ancient structures that are unexplained today. They're round circular forts, and then they're built on top of walls. But then you start to get sections of these combining like cells together. Well, there'll be one section of fort, and then you'll have the terraced landscape down for protection. Then it's connected to another one. But then there's underground tunnels between the two main fort structures. But it looks like they were there to grow crops, protect themselves. But when you start to get two of these connected, you're like, well, that's pretty interesting. When you get two and then four and then 16 and 32, and then you get all these kind of matrices within, very much like we see down in Southern Africa where Michael Tellinger's work was talking about, you know, the way all those circles were not for cattle corrals. It seemed to be using like a Paleozoic effect from the Earth's crystalline structure to transmit electricity or something in the plasma sphere. But up on the coastal Scotland, coastal Ireland, it seemed that the structures were raised, or maybe they're younger, where they haven't been worn down so much, but it was the same exact copy-paste. Because if you're going to look at like an electronic circuit board today, if you have one that's been stuck in the dust for 2,000 years, it's going to be quite a bit more eroded than one that's, say, 200 or 300 years old. So the ones that you're finding up around Scotland, Ireland, exactly the same structures with the circles, using the same kind of high-density crystalline stone, specially chosen stones to make these structures. But then when we go to Southern Africa, you're talking about 400,000 years ago in Zimbabwe. But very similar, the way those two are like that. So obviously there was some knowledge that was passed down. And again, it's kind of an energy that we are in our waking everyday state. We're taught to burn fossil fuels.
Yeah.
But these Paleozoic plasma structures, if you will, operate on a completely different cycle of energy that we are, I'm going to say, blinded and hidden from allowing us. Tesla was probably the best one to understand how this works, but in the average everyday world around us, you're not going to see this technology out here.
You know, that guy in Florida, I forgot his name, that built the weird little compound.
Yeah, the Coral Castle. I forget his name. Yeah, that's right. He also had the same magnetic cones that would lift heavy objects. So if you're looking at Baalbek, when you're talking about a 2,000-ton block that we can't even barely lift today, and they somehow – see, that's the whole thing. With this vibration and resonant frequency, it seems that you're able to change the density of objects for a certain amount of time, and then you can lower them in place. You can make them form like toothpaste, and once the sound vibration stops, they lock back into the original stone, type of stone that it was. And there's a lot of that around the world, too. So if you jump over to different continents, you start to see that they all had the same technologies. And that's where we get lost in history. And then suddenly that disappears, and we're fed with the Egyptians or the Sumerians, and then it's a linear straightforward. But what happened pre-7,000 years ago, where we start to see a lot of these technologies used? And, yeah, the Younger Dryas set us back. And the 1,200-year cooling event also set us back after we recovered as a species from the Younger Dryas event.
Yeah. You know, what you're saying about the stuff about Michael Tellinger, you know, that's one of the oldest examples that we can date back. But it shows that mankind knew about some kind. And it's funny that you said a microchip, because you think that size is relevant. Not really. So if you had massive crystalline stones interlinked with something like Formica, like you find in Mexico and in South America, or something else like that that's underneath that connects all of these high quartzite type of quartz heavy rocks like diorite and all of these other hard ones that they made all of the obelisks with. You can go everywhere. If you're in England, if you're in France, if you can go to Egypt, Turkey. Native Americans used all of these weird stones to write their petroglyphs on, and they have the same characteristics of that. You go down to South America, they built their little pyramids in structures, and if you look at them from above, they look like microchips. So there may have been some kind of technology that human beings witnessed at least, if not had, at one time, and they've been trying to copy it, and some of the other civilizations tried to copy it, and you can see that it got downgraded over time. Like, there's no argument that the Great Pyramid of Giza and the other two there that obviously were built first, they have no writing, no hieroglyphs.
And they covered, covered in limestone facing, too. So what you're seeing now is nothing, because they were covered in sheer, like, some of the most polished limestone you've ever seen, completely covered. Every square inch was covered in polished limestone. So what was the reason for that? Imagine coming on that and you got three giant white polished limestone covered pyramids out there. That, you know, and limestone is definitely an electrical conductor.
Yeah, and not only that, you could see those objects from space, especially if they were glistening in the early morning sunrise or the afternoon. They'd be glistening in the sun, so anybody would see them. Plus, they have all of the numerology about where our place is in the solar system. It has the light speed in there, the circumference of the Earth. All of that information is encoded in the Great Pyramid, and they're trying to tell me that the Pharaonic people came along and they started building stuff too, but they just couldn't, you know, make them stand up straight or last, and they couldn't make giant pieces. They couldn't cut that stone. They didn't have the tools for that. So you see these downgraded examples of the technology that's a copy, and you find that in the same place, if whether it's in North America, South America, there's always a downgrade in technology afterwards that just couldn't quite get it. And we're at the point right now in our civilization that we have 3D modeling technology, which almost most likely had to have been done to achieve some of the geometric features of some of these buildings, not using any mortar, accounting for movement of earthquake and seismic shifts, all of that stuff. And all of it is destroyed, and we can't explain why.
And I saw somebody's work before where they were comparing what you talked about with microchips,
yeah,
with satellite views over different complexes across Egypt, and the way they were eerily similar. And using vibration and sound through cities to be able to direct upward to transmit energy. And it was one of the most fascinating things. I was stuck there for a little bit going, really? That looks exactly the same except to a much larger scale. So when you go back into the megalithic building or even, let's say, like Greek, Roman era, you get a lot of the columns and different things that we've seen. But if you take that aerial view and you match it up with a computer chip, the way you have the central column and then you get that major microprocessor, it's really interesting how the overlap was. And I wish you could find some of that on there. I forget the person's name who did the research, but it was an aerial view of an Egyptian temple complex next to a modern computer board and how they matched up. So, as above, so below, in the microcosm and the macrocosm, if you're going to scale something, so imagine the kind of frequency, imagine the kind of energies we're working with here. If you understand the microprocessor board in your computer, how much power that has, but then bring it onto a scale the size of a couple square miles in an Egyptian complex, what kind of power would that have? Maybe the computer, maybe the planet itself, and us as the human race here, our brain power with the planet itself is just nothing more than a large computer for something else.
What if you knew how to build stuff on the surface of these planet bodies like Earth, Mars, Venus, whatever, where you could set up a circuit board right on top of it that uses the energy that we're always talking about? It's an electric universe. So you could use that electricity to exactly run computer chip boards. I was trying to look for it because I had a point. I wanted to see a picture that looked like a microchip. Here's one. This one's pretty good. Actually, that's fake, but they're demonstrating it. Oh, yeah, it's a model of the city. So let me show you that. And then I want to show you guys how it used to look like this, right? This is how we used to build cities, like a microchip for some reason. Very symmetrical, right? Now, if you look at cities today, like, I don't know, it's hard to satellite photo of a city today. Like, just pick a city, and you will realize that we no longer build it like microchips, but it looks like a virus. Here, let me see if I can get a good one from far off here. It looks like a virus now on the Earth. Like, and I saw this. Here we go. Here's some stuff that if you look at this right here, it doesn't look symmetrical like a chip anymore. A lot of this stuff, I don't know, that's weird. I live there. Why is that there? anyway, my point was, and I saw this when I was flying up going to England, and I was taking I don't know where the photos are at, but I took a lot of them. And there was a whole city planned out next to El Paso that no one lives in, but they have all the streets there. And it just looks like a virus patch on the earth. And then you compare it to this elegant, completely symmetrical, you know, sacred geometry. All of that stuff's not only in this Mexico one, but when you go to Giza as well, right? It's the same thing. I think one's right here. And you – let me see if I can get that bigger. It looks like a microchip, but of course it didn't cooperate. But anyway, you guys get the point there. There it is right there. Microchip. And what's weird is even the Hopi and the Navajo have built Chaco Canyon and some of the villages to mirror this exact thing that Egypt and also at Teotihuacan, all of these places have star charts embedded into it as well. Like almost telling you where they got the information, maybe, in my opinion.
Yeah, I've seen a fair few of those layouts across Arizona where they were mimicking and representing what was in Orion. And then, you know, the way the migratory patterns were with the monsoons, moving on one side of the mesa or then moving back onto the other side, depending on which season it was. But the way the towns, the cities were set, I'm not talking cities, tens of thousands of people in an organized community back then. It's such a disservice the way that history has represented these amazing people that had an organized society. And even down in Mississippi, yeah, in different areas, they had cities of up to 200,000 people, pyramidal cities that have been since bulldozed because they were earthen mounds versus what we see over in places like Egypt.
Yeah.
Yeah, but the way the representations of the cities and the layouts, Orion star systems, you know, the Orion nebula seems to be another one that's very revered and was even laid out through Arizona.
So what do you think changed in human civilization from where we went to building massive structures that had sacred geometry for anyone to look at and break down if they knew math? So anybody could get this information. It was universal information. It was available to anybody that had an eye and a brain and had reference to the world we live in now, where we run stories on the word of supposed medical people. So because it's a totally fake world here. So, and I point out, we went from that where knowledge was pretty much shared universally if you could figure it out to nowadays. And we're talking tens of thousands of years, I guess, this transformation to now they can just have a guy make up some stuff and reinforce a narrative that they're telling you that, you know, doesn't really have any effect on your life except for that you're cooperating with it. I mean, this I'm not even getting into whether it's man-made or none of that stuff, but the result that it's had so far, if you actually look at the real data, is not that bad. And comparative to all of the things that humankind have gone through in the last 10,000 years is nothing. Yet this is the world we live in, where this fake information and an umbrella of fake energy surrounds us. And there is ways to break free from that. So let's talk about that. Like, how do you break free from all of this, all of the fake reality? You cannot watch TV. You cannot read the news. You can, you know, get in tune with nature and start planting your own food. However, we can't cut ourselves off from knowledge, right? We have to know some of these things that people 10,000 years ago knew and obviously thought it was important enough to make structures that people in the future with any kind of know-how would figure out there was a message there.
Yeah, but the building prowess and knowledge was so much more vast and gigantic than anything we've done today. Even if you have a, you know, 8-lane superstructure highway, even the girth columns there are just, you know, minuscule in comparison to what was built prior to us. So nobody asked those questions. Like, my whole thing would be, where was the invasion? And I think the closest thing would be the invasion of the body snatchers was a perfect representation. Because now we're into it where, if you talk out differently, you have that person to reach their head and go and scream, and everybody runs at you. It almost seems that we were invaded by a different race of people that overtook and destroyed the last technology, or it was already in a state of decline anyway. Like, if your body is in a very low state of your immune system, for example, viruses can jump into you, things can jump into you.
Put your mask
on. So perhaps
on.
The last iteration, 30,000 years ago, we were already at a weakened state, and some other entity, AI, could have been anything, but jumped right in and overtook this plane of Earth.
Put your mask on. They're doing that exact thing that you're talking about, David, in real life. It's happening. It's out there, like the real sci-fi
movie. It is happening. That's the scariest thing.
There's people, like I saw a video the other day. This guy was in some store and he's shopping, and the Karen started ganging up on him from every direction about, put your mask on, put your mask on. And this has been happening for months. And if you're any kind of logical person, you know the mask doesn't work. You know it's a thing about control. Yet there's 100 to every maybe one, or maybe it's worse, maybe 300 to one of those people that they have intelligence, there's no doubt. But yet they're going along with these narratives without ever questioning. It's the worst kind of sheeple you can imagine, where you just tell them where to go and they go there, left, right, up, down. You like it, you don't like it. This is what we're doing today. And you just do it. It's the hokey pokey on a grand scale. It's scary. It is invasions. They are doing the thing at you.
Well, I would have said, all right, you 10 Karens, line up right here. You have all your masks on, right? So you feel protected? Then if I don't have my mask on, it means yours don't work, because you're so concerned about me not wearing mine that your masks must not work because you're concerned about me not. It's the same with the vaccine. I've said this many a time before. If you're going to get the jab in the arm, don't come complaining to me because I don't want to get it. It means that it doesn't work, because if you got yours, cool. Your body, do whatever you want. But coming over to me and saying, you didn't get it, you have to follow us. No, I don't, because you already got it, so you should be totally safe. So you should care less what I do. But nope, it's going to be that whole thing again, the whole white check mark in the app on the phone. He didn't get his jab in the arm. He got
I highly
see where
recognize
it's going.
This.
We're coming into it is a Y. It's a V in the road between the humanity that we choose to live in this point.
If you haven't ever seen this episode of The Twilight Zone, I highly recommend it. It's called The Obsolete Man. And you know what his crime was? Thinking
reading.
And reading. And he's the guy, right? There's 100 people telling him, you know, hey, you can't do that. That's not what we're doing anymore. He's obsolete. So people that think about things and try to find out things on their own, they're obsolete now. You just got to go with the program. I think that there's going to be a new trend of people that come up with what's called something similar to urban camouflage. You know, where you're wearing your mask, you're doing all these things, but you're only doing it to get through society without being molested, without being pointed at by the crowd and screamed at, and without the aliens noticing that you're awake and you have the sunglasses on. Because I have a feeling. And it's not a feeling, it's factual at this point. I've been seeing it in public in my local area, people spazzing about the mask thing. And that's just a little bitty thing. What happens when they tell you that you're not allowed to, read or have anything with the American flag on it? Or, oh, wait, stuff like that's already happening. We're already deleting words, ideas, history. It's like the Library of Alexandria, except for this time in history, they've convinced us to do it to ourselves.
That's when you know it's something smart pushing the agenda. I don't even know if we are living in an AI reality right now, because the way it's being bent and the human race, the way every single string is being pulled, it's almost like every computational possibility has been run out through some sort of supercomputer that's so far beyond blue or D-wave that we have right here, right now. I mean, hundreds of millions of X above that computational possibility to run through every single possible thought that you could have against every other possible thought anybody else on the planet could have times 8 billion 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 running every single second to move things in the news by the hour going out. And we're really talking about the most powerful supercomputer on the planet available today, but something that would be billions of times more in computational power to figure out how these reactions would move between and amongst people that are living right now. It's mind-boggling on how every single perfect string has been pulled to get the populace to kowtow and obey completely. It's almost like they ran simulations amongst everybody and came out with these variables and then are putting it into play regionally in the local news. Like, they've already played out Washington State. They've played out Oregon. They've played out Arizona. They've played out Tennessee. They've played out Florida. And from the microcosm to the macrocosm, what they put out in the giant news, which is the world headlines, which everybody sees in the front page of all these newspapers every day, all the way down to the very most local newspaper. And you have to wonder who's writing all these articles, because they're all just regurgitated pieces of repeated propaganda and narrative through the smallest publications to the largest. And they all have their little slightly different take for the local populace. It's really interesting how this is on such a massive level that's it's beyond human comprehension almost, how many variables need to be taken into consideration to bend an entire race of 8 billion people thinking different thoughts, but to get them to think the same thought. What kind of super intelligent being is that? Directing then the humans to do something else to other humans. That's incredible.
And you see that. I was talking to Leo Zagami about that idea, basically living in a simulation, right? That there would be some people that couldn't handle it, just like in the movie Matrix. Or maybe people that had some way of, like you were talking about before, maybe their genetic code is picking up on the program, or whatever you want to call it. And then they do stuff like this, kill people because they thought they were living in a fake simulation, or maybe they are living in a simulation and they're right, but we wouldn't know because we're still in the program. And that's what scientists are talking about all over the place now. I mean, that's one of the main focuses on scientific research now, is trying to prove or figure out that we're living in a simulation. And there is some irrefutable, arguable, unarguable facts about this idea, is that there are numerical constants in the universe that we know of. There's pi and there's quai and, you know, all of these other ideas and concepts that are universal, the Fibonacci sequence, on and on and on. And early human beings, we know they had access to some of this information already, or we wouldn't today know about, you know, sacred geometry or magic numbers or any of these other ideas. But there has to be a next level to this. And I know that the elite are trying to find that level and block us out of it. That's what it seems like. Right there, living in a simulation. Are we, though? We could be. You wouldn't know it at all.
But they have to get your permission to get you into it, so you volunteer to go into it. And once enough people are into it, then you volunteered to go into it.
But what's most interesting
about that last article that you showed there, where the one person thought it was an artificial intelligence creature, being whatever machine, yeah. If it really was, and that person found and hunted down the correct artificial being, that would have been hidden in the news. I watched this movie just a couple of days ago, and it was talking about a technology collapse based on electromagnetic changes in the sun that affected Earth. But the whole thing was exactly that. these people that were chasing around and trying to figure out the ways to reverse this comet that had knocked off part of Mars, and it was an anomalous black hole that was then deconstructing parts of the atmosphere, and different parts of the planet were starting to get pulled into this black hole in a magnetic anomaly. But the whole time, these scientists were trying to figure it out, and these quantum physicists were all brought together in kind of a unique fashion. They were just kind of, you know, some girl chewing bubble gum and some random guy over there, like people you'd never expect being the brightest quantum physicist on the planet. But the whole time, they were being chased by these artificial intelligence things that were like robotic people, and they had special weapons, but there were good guys, good robotic and bad robotic, and they were shooting each other and trying to protect these scientists figuring out the magnetic anomaly, very much like the Terminator. But the one kid who saw all this happen, they made him disappear because he saw the truth. And the same thing, and then in the news it was like, oh, this person was killed in the library. But when he saw the whole scene behind it, it was two of these kind of Terminators battling it out to protect the physicists who were really working on the code to try to reverse the magnetic anomaly that was coming in. Incredible movie, and I cannot remember the name of it. It was fanciful, interesting. It combined so many different aspects of what we're talking about here, all new, but kind of a strange, you know, B movie kind of thing. And if I can find the name of it, I will definitely pass it on, but I can't remember right now. It was on YouTube. Yeah, well, it was free. It was like one of those things, watch it with ads and you can watch the whole movie for free.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I'll have to look into that. You know, I was thinking, but what would we call that? I mean, even the Catholic Church says that they basically believe half the world is possessed by entities. Even religion is saying that now. The idea, you know, and you've heard all of these people with theories about that there are just programs running around, not unlike the Matrix, where they are not people, but they are programs, and they are inhabiting our body. And you were saying something earlier, and it kind of goes back to what we were talking about, these old obelisk buildings, megaliths, and all these other things that are built with a specific kind of rock that has characteristics from piezoelectricity to conducting electricity. And we think about living in a universe full of planets with these materials in it, and we talk about it all being connected. Now, how big of a microchip, maybe, you know, not a microchip, it's not small, but how big of a chip would you have to make for it to affect the galaxies and things like that? How many planets would you have to put specific stone or other magnetic patterns on, where you could use the universe for a computational computer or to run some kind of program? And if you could do that, would there not be boogeyman programs that could invade it, not unlike what you're talking about, little virtual – it would be virtual in the way we call it, but it would be in reality some kind of electronic or other dimensional being that could use that program or machines to enter into what we call – our physical realm and stuff like that. I mean, you could build obelisks on so many different planets, and I don't see why that would be any different than a motherboard with all those little solder points on it that are connected with, you know, things that can conduct electricity. So it does a specific pattern of electricity, and you get a program that works. I don't see why you couldn't absolutely do that with planets. And if you were a civilization like Type 3 or something like that, you know, and you got Dyson spheres and you're moving planets around and things like that, which a lot of people theorize is why the moon is as old or older than the Earth, and why it's in a specific mathematical tidal locked rotation on the Earth that allows perfectly for farming and the evolution of animals and life on this planet. That was a big mouthful there.
Yeah, but go back to that one image that you showed me of the large causeways with what looked like, you know, Mayan pyramids and the ancient cities. So you have to think about that as a spiral arm of a galaxy, where each one of those, what would have been represented as a building, as either an individual planet or the star itself. There's been a little bit of new peer-reviewed research coming out showing that the planets now affect the star. Absolutely. If you knew that outflow, so where we're used to the outflow of only thinking about the sun is so much larger than the Earth that everything out of the star affects the Earth. But we know for a fact through proven science, peer-reviewed, like thousands and thousands of papers, that as the Earth comes around with its magnetic core, it stops massive sunspots from forming. So it's almost like its own savior of itself, where there's some canceling effect when the Earth comes around to a giant sunspot group that's in an equatorial region of the sun. When the sun comes, or when the Earth comes around, it generally cancels that out. So moving forward with that premise, that the Earth has some effect back on the sun, and now they've jumped it out to every single planet has an effect on the sun. So we're using, individual planets around, and think of each one of the smaller dots on there being our solar system versus some of the larger motherboards, which would be either combined solar systems into a larger sphere or an entire spiral arm of the galaxy. So maybe that top portion would be one spiral arm of the galaxy, and then the bottom portion would be another spiral arm of the galaxy. And these things would morph onto something that's so far beyond the comprehension of electromagnetic connectivity, geologic connectivity, mineral connectivity, and linking this through the Birkeland currents and the plasma sphere that link it all together. I mean, we're talking about something that is so hyper-intelligent that's beyond, because our Earth's only 4.5 billion years old. But the universe itself, at least in this, what we know is third-dimensional space, 11 or 12 billion years old. So something out there has an 8 billion year head start on us, more than double the amount of time that we've even coalesced from the first atom into a planet. Something's been around twice as long as us.
Well, think about what would happen, though. Think about this. Okay, so this is like when you're looking at a picture of a microchip or, just a basic chip.
Or the spiral arm of galaxy.
Right? But think about this as a fractal. So you have, big patterns. What if you had a giant pattern of, nebulas and galaxies and all this stuff? It's at this pattern. And then you move it down to the galactic level, and you arrange things in this pattern. And then you go down to a solar system level, and you arrange things in this exact pattern. And then you go down into your technology, and you arrange a machine that's in – or a city first, and it's in this exact pattern. And then a machine in this exact pattern. And then you go down to the atomic level, and you arrange things in this exact pattern, and then down to the subatomic level. What do you think would be happening, and why does it seem that people were attempting to make a fractal of the universe using these constants we were talking about, like pi and chi and the Fibonacci sequence, all of that stuff? It's obviously a simulation.
And we're going to have to wrap it up tonight. David Dubine, along with Ransom Godwin, your host, Mini Ice Age Conversations, every Thursday night, 10 p.m. to midnight. Thank you for joining us. Remember, this is a listener-supported station. Remember, freedomslips.com, Revolution Radio, top bar, donate. Please keep the sheet like this on air.
Thank you for listening to
times
Revolution
of duress when our thoughts are now criminal actions. We need to